Hi, good evening. Welcome to the next of our Wednesday devotionals. I hope you're all okay. I hope you're all managing to keep bearing up. I know we're into our fifth week of lockdown, aren't we? And I know, having spoken to a few of you recently, I know the novelty is well and truly worn off. I think that's probably true of most people, actually. I think even those of you who were okay a week or so ago are struggling a little bit now. And I'm conscious, you know, we are really finding this difficult. So all I can say is that we need to continue to pray for one another, to need to continue to engage in whatever way we can. Try and be an encouragement. You know, we're all going through this together, albeit in our separate places. So let's try and continue to be an encouragement to one another and bear with each other's burdens wherever we can. Let's continue to pray and be a family, even if we're separated by some distance just at the moment. Well, anyway, we're going to look this evening at Genesis chapter 16. We're just going to say a few thoughts from that story. But before we do that, we'll pray and then we'll read the scriptures together. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity just to gather together as your family, albeit in separate places, in different ways. But we pray, Lord, that as we gather together around your word and as we gather together in prayer, we pray that you would meet with us, speak to us, encourage us, challenge us, bless us in you, and grant us guidance and endurance for the days and the weeks that are to come. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So our reading is from Genesis chapter 16. And we're going to read the whole chapter. So Genesis 16, from verse 1 to 16. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. She said to Abraham, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abraham agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah took her Egyptian maidservant Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abraham, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my servant into your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "The servant is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarah ill-treated Hagar, and she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And she said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarah," she answered. And then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will so increase your descendants that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abraham a son, and Abraham gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore him a son. Amen. This is God's word. Well, we know that Abraham was called from Ur of the Chaldees, and he obediently followed where God led him. Abraham and his wife Sarah were promised a son who would become a great nation. Abraham's told that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. But as time goes by and circumstances seem to become increasingly hopeless, they're getting older, they're past the age of having children, really. And the fulfillment of God's promises just seems to get further and further out of sight for them. They decide to take matters into their own hands. And we have this incident where Sarah gives her servant girl, Hagar, to Abraham to be his wife and have children with. Now, that's not against the social customs of the day or the conventions of the day. If you remember, there is no law at this time. The Levitical law hadn't been given. But it was against the promise that God had made. God had promised that Abraham would have children through Sarah, that there would be his descendants would be numerous, that he'd be the son of God's promise. And as always happens when we take things into our own hands, things start to unravel. Jealousy ensues within the household. There's this rivalry between Sarah and Hagar. And Abraham, typical male response, he sort of shrugs his shoulders and says, well, do whatever you want. So Hagar, having been mistreated, runs away. And we find Hagar in a mess. We find her here by a well or a spring. And she's hopeless, really. She's in a hopeless situation. It's a mess not really of her own making. We don't have any idea how old she was, but some would even regard this as having been a, you know, an abusive relationship that she'd come out of. She was homeless, she was helpless, and she was pregnant. And she is sitting or standing by this well or this spring. And she has an encounter with this angel of the Lord. He meets with her and he speaks with her. And three things during this encounter, very briefly, three things are revealed about God. The angel of the Lord says to her, behold, you are pregnant, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. Now, the word Ishmael simply means God hears. And that's the first thing that's revealed about God, is that he hears. And he has specifically heard Hagar. Second thing is that he is the God who sees. She calls this angel of the Lord, or the Lord that who has spoken to her, the one who sees her. She says, you are the God of seeing. For she says, truly I have seen him who looks after me. And then thirdly, we learn that God lives. He's a God who hears, he's a God who sees, and he's a God who lives. We're told that she called the well, or the spring that she was near, Beer Lahai Roy, which means well of the living one who sees me. This phrase, the angel of the Lord, is an interesting one. This is what's known, the theological term you'd give this is a theophany. That's an appearance of God. This phrase, the angel of the Lord, is always associated in the Old Testament with God revealing himself to his people in a personal way, in a living and a tangible way almost. And God always reveals himself through his son. So this is the first time in the Old Testament that we have this phrase, the angel of the Lord. Therefore, it's the first time that it's considered that God reveals himself in this way, that the pre-incarnate Christ, the Son of God, before he's born as Jesus in a stable in Bethlehem, reveals himself to Hagar. And he's the first person in the Old Testament that he reveals himself in this way too. He's spoken to Noah. He's spoken to Abraham. He's spoken in the past, but he has not revealed himself in this way. Who was the first person that he revealed himself to? Well, it was to this broken, helpless, homeless servant girl. Who was the first person that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to after he rose from the dead? Well, it was to Mary, a helpless, grieving woman. God's heart is for the helpless. God's heart is for those who are lost, for those who are helpless without him, for those who are grieving, for those who are brokenhearted. Psalm 51 and verse 17 says this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. When we were helpless and hopeless and lost and far away from God, God became flesh and dwelt among us. He heard us and he saw us in our helplessness and in our hopelessness, and he had compassion on us, just the way that he has compassion on Hagar here. Well, he, in this encounter with Hagar, he says two things to her. Not necessarily the things she wanted to hear, actually. He says, what's the first thing he says to her? Well, return, go home, go back to your mistress, Sarah, and submit to her. You know, she might have hoped for something a bit better than that. She might have hoped that he would say, well, come on, I'll find you a house and a car and I'll give you a nice lifestyle and everything will be fine from now on. Well, that very rarely happens. God doesn't usually deal with us in that way. He tells her to go back to a situation that was not a good one. None of that conflict, none of that jealousy within that home situation had been resolved, but he tells her to go back there anyway. But he also gives her a promise, and he says this: the angel of the Lord said to her, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude. I'll make you a great nation as well. Ishmael wasn't the son of promise, but he was a son of Abraham. And almost by default, God promises Hagar that this son of hers would be a great nation too. Well, what's he saying to us through that little passage this evening? Well, he says this: I hear you and I see you. In whatever situation you find yourself today, I hear you and I see you. 1 Peter 3:12 says this: for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I hear you and I see you. And thirdly, I'm alive. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says this: for he was crucified in weakness, but lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but in dealing with you, we will live with him by the power of God. Because he lives, the hymn writer says, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And what's he saying to us today? Well, endure. Keep going. There isn't a magic cure. We don't even have a vaccine for this virus at the moment. There's not going to be a click of the fingers and it's all fine again. But God is telling us to grit our teeth and keep going and endure. There's a verse that has always been quite dear to me in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance. You know, we're so used to having everything instantaneously. You know, we press a button in the wall and we get money. We press another button and we get food. Everything happens, you know, we press a button on the computer and something gets delivered to us the following day. God says, run with endurance. This is a marathon, it's not a sprint. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, he went through the cross. He went through the cross so that we can spend eternity with him. Looking to Jesus. Why do we look to Jesus? Well, because he's the best perfect example of endurance. He went right to the end. He ran the race for us. And he went through the cross for us. I just say this to you. You know, it's a difficult time at the moment. Nobody's denying that. And it is tough. We're struggling with being remote from each other. I think we're all getting fed up of video messages, if I'm honest. I think video conferencing has lost its novelty now. We look forward to the day when we can actually sit together and be reunited in fellowship with one another. But until then, we know this, that God sees us and God hears us and God lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Keep going. Keep safe. Be encouraged. Let's pray together, and then I wish you an encouraging and a blessed week to come. I look forward to meeting with you again on Sunday. Lord, we commit our week to you. Lord, we know that many are struggling at the moment, and we just pray that you know and you see and you hear their situation. Pray that you would be all that they need. Encourage and bless us, Lord. See us through this time. Help us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And help us to keep going. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Every blessing all. See you again soon.